GeekCastRadio.com presents the GeekCast Radio Top 100 Animated Series of All Time. Megatron Phillips, Mike TFG1 Blanchard, Kevin Optimus Solo Thompson.
That's right, folks. The time has finally come for GeekCast Radio Network's Top 100 Animated Series of All Time. I'm your host, Optimus Solo, and let me just say, and I think I speak for the whole gang here, that I am very pumped up for what is about to take place here at the GeekCast Radio Network. But before we get to that, I would like to introduce you to the other geeks that are about to start the journey with us. The two co-hosts with me today should come as no surprise to anyone listening out there. They are both the co-founders of GCRN, Steve Megatron Phillips and Mike TFG1 Blanchard. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
And basically how this is going to work is that for every entry, you're going to hear which number the show is coming in. You're going to hear a quick clip of that show's intro theme, and then we're going to give our thoughts on the show and where it fell on our countdown. One thing you may want to keep in mind is that none of my fellow hosts here know which shows are coming in at which spots. So with that being said, you can expect a little bit of shock, maybe some debate, some arguments, and whatever else we may find along the way. So without further ado, let's get right into the countdown.
Starting the countdown at 100 is...
So, starting off our countdown, we have the Powerpuff Girls. I will like to mention that it did come into a tie, and as we explained in episode 20 on how we broke the tie, it actually won the tiebreaker to get the number 100 spot. So how do we feel about Powerpuff Girls coming in at our first show on the countdown, Mike?
It's kind of strange.
It's kind of strange. I should mention that it came in at 42nd on IGN's list, so it's obviously much, lower or higher on our list? Much lower or higher. I'm confused. But anyways, you know, 42nd on their list and 100 on our list. You guys didn't vote for this one. It did make my list. And the reason I voted for it, I really don't have much knowledge on the show, but it was more so because of its presence in pop culture at that time. And we're talking about, you know, like the early 2000s. It, you know, merchandising was everywhere. It was on for 6 seasons. I didn't rank it very high. I ranked it 89th on my list. I just thought it deserved a mention. Besides being weird, Steve, you got any thoughts on Powerpuff Girls?
It wasn't a bad show. It had pretty good voicing, and although the design and overall aspect of it was kind of kiddish, it was an overall enjoyable show.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, do you guys agree that it should be included in the 100, or would you guys prefer...
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I would see it being included in the 100.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know, for the time, it was, you know, obviously none of us are female, so we can't speak to that audience, but it seems like at the time it was almost like a gem for that generation.
Right.
I could see that.
One of the greatest, actually the two, and obviously we're not going to get too far into this, but one of the two main reasons why I loved watching Powerpuff Girls in reruns a few years ago on Boomerang and on Cartoon Network was... Bubbles, who was voiced by Tara Strong, and Mojo Jojo. Mojo Jojo is hilarious.
I am Mojo Jojo.
You know, anything that's on for 6 seasons, I almost think deserves a spot on this countdown, unless it's, I don't know, maybe we'll get to some that I don't think do, but, you know, four different people voted for it. It's won a good deal of awards, so I have no problem with this. I think 100 or, you know, somewhere in the 90s is a perfect spot for this one.
Yep.
All right, well, let's see what's next.
99.
So coming in next on our countdown, if you couldn't tell from that clip, is I like to say this one because I always say it wrong, but Neon Genesis Evangelion. I'd never watched the show, so I don't have a damn clue.
It's Neon Genesis
Evangelion. Evangelion
is what it is.
And obviously, everybody knows that I am not an anime fan.
Yes.
I have seen this one. I want to say just straight off the bat, I mean, obviously, I'm not real super familiar with this one. I'm not an anime fan. I know on a lot of anime lists, this always comes up pretty high. And for this one, it's kind of like what I said in episode 20. Any anime show that makes our list is just a credit to that show. Because we talked about that whole bias, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to episode 20 and then come back to the episode 21. But so, I mean, I think just making the list as an anime show is a credit to it, and I'm just going to have to believe what some of the people that know more about anime say about this show.
I would have to agree, being that I've, one, never seen this, and I do know that the animation on it is done fairly well. But I can't speak overall for it, because I, of course, do not know enough about anime to give it a fair judgment.
Right. I mean, it came in 10th on IGN's list, which, wow.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of high for IGN.
There's no way I'm putting this as the 10th all-time series. It only aired for one season. And it's very hard for me to think that something that only aired for one season can be that phenomenal that it bypasses stuff that's been around for, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years or something like that. Birdman would probably disagree with me since he put it number 4 on his list. But, you know, I have no problem with it being on the list. If it's as good as all the anime fans say, then it probably deserves a spot. I'm fine with it being at 99. What about you, Mike?
Yeah, I'm fine with it being at 99. At least it's not Mask. You know,
true.
Being at 99. But, you know, again, like Kevin has said, like Steve has said, you know, we give – I have always said I give, you know, the respect and credit that anime deserves. It's just not my thing. So I've never seen this. I've never seen any of the animations on it. But it does deserve to be in the countdown, and I think 99 is a good spot for it.
Yeah, and I will mention it only beat Powerpuff Girls by one singular point, so it was very close here at the top of our countdown. So let's see what comes in at the next number.
98.
All right, so next up we have another anime show, as funny as that would be, and that is Robotech. Now, I will say that I do have some knowledge of the kind of cult following that Robotech has. I mean, it's had multiple different, I don't know if you want to call them spin-offs or whatnot, but, you know, it was a big thing as far as anime goes in the early 80s, kind of before some of these later, you know, like our last number came out. I mean, this was kind of a more of an early on thing as far as the U.S. goes. And I knew of it as a kid. I didn't know a lot about it. But I, again, have no problem with this one showing up on the list. Mike, do you know anything about Robotech?
I've only heard the name.
Our countdown is off to a stunning start with these shows that none of us have ever heard of. What about you, Steve?
I am familiar with Robotech. Back in the day, I mean, I haven't seen a lot of it, but I have read some of the novelizations based on it. My friend used to be really into it in high school, and so thus everything he drew was based off of it in some form or another. To me, it kind of reminds me of almost a pre-Transformers without the sentient robot aspect. So it's a pretty neat anime, to say the least. I mean, despite the fact that it's fairly dated in how it looks, obviously from being in the 80s, but it's still not a bad show overall. So I could see definitely why this would be on the top 100.
Yeah, and, you know, IGN had it number 34. Again, I feel that's too high on a list. I think it's fine in the 90s and maybe even in the 80s somewhere. so I have no problem with it. It actually made five different people's lists. Now, obviously, like we said in episode 20, there was 20 different people that voted, and I've kind of tallied up each show and how many people voted for them, and for it to get five, that's more than most of the shows that are at this end of the countdown. I mean, there's a few that got more than that, but, you know, obviously a lot of people have heard of it, and I don't know. I think 98's a good spot for it. So far, I don't have any qualms on 199 or 98. I think they're all in fine order.
Yes, they are.
Agreed.
All right, well, let's see if that trend continues with our next one.
97.
All right, I know we have at least one of our members here that's familiar with this one. So coming in at 97, SWAT Cats, The Radical Squadron. I'm just going to let Steve take this one.
Oh, I definitely love this show. I'm sad to see that it's at 97, honestly.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it at least made the list, unlike IGN.
Yeah, it did not make IGN's list. I was going to ask you, I was like, because I knew it was one of you had it number six on your list, so I was going to say, are you just happy that it made the list, or are you upset that it's not higher?
I am a little upset that it's not higher, being that the voice acting on it was awesome. The animation on it, granted, towards the end of it, started getting kind of off-kilter, but it started off strong, and the rock theme song is spectacular. I mean, it's just an awesome, catchy theme song, and not to mention you've got one of the old Ninja Turtle voices in there.
True. I think this one's one that kind of flies under the radar sometimes. I mean, I think a lot of if people have seen this show, most people I know that have actually watched this show in its entirety over its two seasons like it, but I think somehow a lot of people missed it.
And see, and for me personally, I love this show, and as soon as Mike let me know that it was coming out on DVD, I immediately ordered it and watched the entire series.
I would like to point out, before I let Mike say something, that the Geekcast Radio Network is solely responsible for this show making the countdown, because the three of us are the only ones that voted for it.
Cha-ching!
So I guess we had to carry the torch on this one. I'm surprised that it didn't make somebody else's list.
But like you said, it probably just went under the radar and nobody, you know, realized.
People don't think about it.
Yeah.
What do you think, Mike?
One of the greatest things about this show, besides the voice acting, besides the awesome rock intro, I always loved the episode title card. You know, that little intro theme that they used for the title card for each episode?
Yeah.
I always loved that little sound effect. I thought that was so cool. But yeah, the voice acting, everything else. I, again, like Steve, I wish it was a little bit higher. But, I mean, compared to probably what the entire list has, I'm okay with it being at 97, I guess. At least it made the countdown.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'm just happy that it's actually on the countdown. And, you know, Steve had it at 6, you had it at 28th, I had it at 77, so we all had it a little bit higher, but I'm not surprised that it's kind of towards this end. All right, well, let's see what the fifth show on our countdown is going to be here.
96.
Hong Kong Phooey, number one super guy. Hong Kong Phooey, quicker than the human eye. He's got style, a groovy smile, and a mob that just won't stop. When the going gets rough, he's super tough with a Hong Kong Phooey chop.
So we've had some shows that were, you know, 80s and 90s shows. With number 96, we're having our first classic show from the 70s. If you couldn't tell from that intro theme, we're going Hong Kong Phooey style. Mike, what do you think about Hong Kong Phooey coming in at number 96?
Oh, I can just see Jazz as a dog in the 70s. And the reason why I say that is obviously Scatman Crothers voiced both G1 Jazz in Transformers and obviously Hong Kong Phooey. I don't know. I can tell right now our countdown is going to be so unpredictable at this point because, like, for like the last two entries that we've done on the countdown here, my jaw just dropped on both of them.
That they made the countdown or that they were at this end?
That they were at this end. I mean, like, okay, like the last entry, SWAT Cats, I get that. But Hong Kong Phooey at 96?
Although, it did not make IGN's list at all.
Oh, okay, well, and that's fine, but, I mean...
How did not put Hong Kong Phooey in the top 100?
I know.
I don't know. This is such a good show. I mean, despite the fact it only ran one season... It's such an iconic show just because, one, Scatman Crothers, and two, just because he's a bumbling idiot that manages to, you know, it's just a weird combination. You get a dog that does kung fu and is a janitor and is supposed to solve crimes, but he has his cat that does most of it for him.
Right. Well, you know, I'm not going to complain anytime a Hanna-Barbera show makes our list, I don't think, because so many of them deserve to. And what I think about when I think about Hong Kong Phooey is, to me, that was one of the Hanna-Barbera shows that came later on that was still able to capture the original Hanna-Barbera cartoon magic.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you had your early stuff with, like, Yogi Bear and Huckleberry Hound and those types of things. And it seemed like this one captured that, even though it was, you know, 10, 15 years later. And, you know, I definitely am happy that it made the list. Unfortunately, I think sometimes some of the classics get overlooked, and I'm just glad this is on the list. That's all I can say about that one.
Hey, I ranked it pretty damn high, though.
You did. You had it at 33rd. Our partner from Blogomatic had it actually at 24th. And then, of course, this again was voted by all three of us. So we're carrying the torch on some of these.
Yes, yes,
we are. Let's see if we continue to carry the torch on the next one.
95.
Wind, water,
hot,
go planet!
By your powers combined, I am Captain Planet!
Captain Planet!
I don't really know how to explain this one, but if you guys didn't figure it out, coming in at 95th, Captain Planet. I don't know what to say, Mike. Other than we all voted for it, so I guess I have myself to blame.
Okay, hold on. How the hell did Beast Machines or Transformers Animated not get on the list, but yet this damn thing did?
Because well, six people voted for this one?
So far, out of all the shows we've covered, this has made the most number of lists. You know, we're only at 95. We're only, like, whatever, six shows into it. But six people voted on this one. That's more than any of the other shows so far, including all three of us. I had it at 100. You had it at 92, so we were both pretty close. I mean, it was on six seasons. It did a lot for pollution.
No, it didn't.
I think this show was good when you were a kid, mm-hmm. as far as watching it. I don't necessarily like it now, like I could never sit through it again, but
if you would have surveyed our parents at the time, they probably would have put it on there.
Yeah, they would probably have been like, yeah, that's a good, wholesome show.
You know, daytime Emmy nomination.
Yeah, so, I mean, it wasn't all fail, and it did have actual actresses involved.
For a season or so, yeah.
Yeah.
It is also the third show in a row that did not, on our countdown, that did not make the IGN list. So SWAT Cats didn't make IGN, Hong Kong Phooey did not make IGN, and Captain Planet did not make IGN.
Surprises abound.
Yeah, I think what Steve said is correct. When we were, like, you know, I was, let me see, you know, I was like 12 when this was on. Yeah, well, all right, I was between 10 and 15, but, like, I specifically remember this 91, 92, so 11 or 12 for Captain Planet, and it's just really, I mean, back then it was cool because everybody was like, oh, the environment, we have to save the environment, and it's, you know, it's basically an animated, it's an environmental animated version of the Power Rangers. Although Power Rangers is better than Captain Planet.
We are not going to have another Power Rangers reference in this show, damn it. Save that for your command center.
Yes.
But, I mean, for what it was back then in the 90s, I guess it does deserve to be on the countdown. I think it should have been a little bit lower.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I really don't have a problem with it being on there because of it was a unique show. I mean, how many shows were doing what it was trying to do? It's just something, I don't know, I definitely don't want to watch it today, so whatever. I guess 95's all right.
94.
The biggest show in town is Huckleberry Hound for all you guys and gals. The biggest clown in town is Huckleberry Hound with all his cartoon pals. It's Huckleberry fun, it's for everyone. So come on, gather round. Get yourself all set, clean up your TV set for Huckleberry Hound.
All right, and at number 94... I have my first major problem with our countdown because Huckleberry Hound at 94 is a crime against humanity. Huckleberry Hound was like the first show, I believe, as far as cartoon that got the Emmy nomination and won an Emmy back in the day. I mean, this is what launched Hanna-Barbera. This is what started a dynasty of awesome cartoons from Hanna-Barbera. And for it to, well, first of all, it obviously should be on the list, but it should be much higher than 94.
And considering that this is the first time so far in the list that IGN has beaten us because they ranked it 63rd. Oh my God, this is bad.
For one spot so far, IGN did better than us. And that is because, once again, the three of us and one of my Behind the Voice Actors colleagues are the only people that voted for Huckleberry Hound.
Why did we vote for this?
I did.
Are you asking why we voted for it or why other people didn't?
I'm just asking why the hell we voted for it in the first place. I mean, it's not that great of a show, but I mean, I think it's more so just because it's an iconic show that you just, it's one of those things that you ended up watching when you were a kid.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just the history person in me, but my problem is this had so much meaning as far as its success led to so much other stuff. Like, I don't know. I mean,
you wouldn't have Yogi Bear if Huckleberry hadn't come first.
Right.
That'd be true.
I don't know. I mean, it was. I'm right with this. I mean, I'm trying to think back to our telecast or our Tooncast episode, Mike. But this was the first primetime cartoon nominated for an Emmy, right?
I believe so, yes.
I mean, it ran for 4 seasons. I don't understand why it's... I think it should be higher. I don't understand why nobody else voted for it. I think it's maybe a generation thing, or people just were ignoring the classics, or maybe people thought, I can only vote for so many Hanna-Barbera shows. I'm dumbfounded. I don't get it. Mike, anything else you want to say about Huckleberry Hound? I'm just speechless on this one.
Oh, my darling, Clementine.
That might have been actually more in tune than Huckleberry Hound.
It's fun shot. That is.
Oh, so hopefully IGN doesn't best us too many more times, but I'm going to give this 1 out of 100 so far, or 1 out of the first 6 or 7 we've done to IGN, but let's see what happens. Go ahead, Steve.
I at least rated it pretty close to what it got on our list anyway.
True. You had an 87, came in at 94, so apparently you were the most right out of all of us. And I think I single-handedly carried this one because I put it at number 11. That seems kind of high for me, but oh well. Maybe I like forecasted that people wouldn't vote for it, so I was trying to give it some more pity votes.
Nice.
Let's see what comes in next.
93.
Hey, it's Bud Helwig. And I'm gonna sing a song for you. And Bill's gonna show you a thing or two. You'll have some fun now with me and all the gang. Learning from each other while we do our thing.
Na, 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 gonna have a good time.
Hey.
Na, na, na.
All right, so now that Huckleberry Buck Cherry's out of the way, let's see what we feel about number 93, which obviously that's a very iconic theme song, so we should all know that it is Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids. And let me just start by saying I am ecstatic that at least this made our countdown. This is another one kind of like, I know it's nothing like SWAT Cats, but to me this show oftentimes flies under the radar. I mean, it was on from 1972 to 1985. That's 13 years on the air, and Bill Cosby's a genius. IGN had it at 82. What do you feel about us having it at 93, Mike?
I'm glad it made the countdown. And what, for me, specifically in the 80s, like 84, 85, I know I was only like 4 or 5 years old, but, you know, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds remember cartoons, trust me. You know, but for me specifically, this was a companion to The Cosby Show on NBC, because it was Bill Cosby doing the voice of Fat Albert. It was Bill Cosby doing the interstitials, the live action stuff, in between the animated adventures. And I absolutely love the Fat Albert cartoon. It was so, so cool.
And it was very unique to its time. You know, we didn't have a lot like this. 4 Daytime Emmy nominations, 1 Daytime Emmy win. So it not only was on for 13 years, it was winning an award, you know, winning awards. And I guess I have to give a shout out or props to you, Mike, because you had it at 90th and it shows up in 93 on our list. What are your thoughts on Fat Albert, Steve?
I remember watching it, but I had fonder memories of the movie itself over this. I don't know. It wasn't one of those more memorable shows for me as a kid. And granted, I probably should have looked into it more in terms of how many nominations and wins it got.
Mm-hmm.
This was one of the ones overlooked, and I didn't see it as one of my top sets for my list.
One of the reasons why Steve probably overlooked it was because it ended a year before he was born.
that doesn't have anything to do with it. I've watched shows all the way back to the 40s.
Oh, no, I know that. I just tend to throw that joke in there.
But, you know, like I said, I'm glad it made the list. I had it at 50th, actually, on my list. Some people had it as high as their top 10, so at least it didn't get completely unnoticed, and it made the list. Let's see what follows up Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids at our next spot.
92.
What the heck? That's a mobile suit. It's a gun. Surround and destroy it.
Right, 5 areas right there. Right there.
What?
So coming in at 92 is Gundam Wing. And before we talk about this one, we've actually had one of our special guests that we promised in episode 20 just show up here. And I'd like to introduce him to all the listeners. We have Dirt from the Pop Culture Network. Hello, sir.
Yeah, I think I'm on the air with Casey Kasem. What happened? Coming in at number 92.
That's exactly what we're shooting for here.
A request and dedication.
So you guys might recognize Dirt from Wrestling Radio and
yep.
That New Toy Smell and that type of stuff. So we're very happy to have him along, and we're going to get some of his thoughts on some of these next 10 or 12 shows that we count down. So back to the title for number 92, Gundam Wing. Again, an anime that has shown up on our list, and like I said in the earlier slot, any anime show that managed to make our list, credit to it, because a lot of us are not anime gurus. Mike or Steve or Dirt, any of you guys want to give your thoughts on Gundam Wing showing up on our top 100?
I've only seen commercials of this thing. I've never actually seen it.
It ranked 73rd on IGN's list, so we did not rank it quite as high as they did. I will say, though, that it is a pretty big franchise. I know that much. I don't know a lot of specifics about Gundam Wing, but I know there's Mobile Suit Gundam and there's whatever Gundam Seed and there's like a quadrillion different Gundam things. So I'm not surprised that some people put it on their list. Before I let Steve or Dirt say anything, the only reason it's on our list is because the people that voted for it voted really high for it. Birdman Dodd had it 21st on his list. Someone else had it in the top 15. So I guess, you know, the three people that voted for it really ranked it high and kind of carried it through. Steve, are you familiar at all with Gundam Wing?
I am familiar with it, and that's another show that my friend used to be highly interested in drawing back in the day. And I myself never got into it. I knew a lot of people that were. And it just, nothing about it really pulled me towards the franchise. It was one of those kind of meh things, because I had better things I was watching at the time, which I'm sure will come up.
you basically had to be into anime, you had to be into science fiction and robots. I mean, and I have two of the three, but I just can't do the anime thing. Dirt, are you familiar at all with Gundam Wing?
I am familiar with it. It's not one I really got into, and part of the thing was that I did watch Gundam, like the original. I don't know exactly what the title was, but the original Gundam I did watch. I think it was just Mobile Suit Gundam. Mm-hmm. And this, I tried watching it, and it didn't make sense to me, and so I just stopped watching it because I didn't understand how it fit. And then I realized later, someone told me it was like an alternate universe of Gundam. Yeah. And so then I'm like, oh, well, that's why it didn't make sense, because it's a different timeline or something.
And it seems like, and I'm going to sound ignorant here because I don't know a lot about anime, but it seems like you get that a lot in anime franchises where one series doesn't have as much to do with another series as you think it might, or like alternate universes or...
Yeah, with us in the United States especially, it's very much sequel. You know, you have a franchise. You've got one which leads into another, which spins off into another. You've got a character from one who goes off and, you know, Booker got his own show off of 21 Jump Street. You know, you just got to see how things flow. But with anime, it just seems a lot of times like someone creates a property and someone else says, oh, well, you know, what if you did things this way? You know, mm-hmm. And then kind of do their own thing with it. And it's not – it's the same characters, but it's not really related to what came before. And so for me, you know, at the time when we got it in the U.S., it was like the mid-90s or something. And I tried watching it, and I'm like, this doesn't match up with anything I remember. So I just didn't watch it, and then found out later, like, oh, I see what happened there.
Yeah, it almost reminds me of, like – I can't remember the name of the anime, but I know there's one that just, like – based itself off of like two or three different parts of different animes that were completely unrelated and then made a show out of it.
Yeah, well, they did that with Robotech a lot.
Yeah. So you never know what those crazy anime guys are going to do. But like I said, because it's such a big franchise, I do not have a problem with it showing up in the 90s on our list. So I guess we'll leave it at that and we'll move on to our next number on the countdown.
91.
So rounding up the first 10 of our list is the 90s classic Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego? And I know both Steve and Mike, you guys voted for this one, so I'll kind of let you guys handle it. Steve, you had this one in your top 10, so are you upset that this one came in at 91, or like SWAT Cats, are you just happy that it made the list?
I'm just happy it made the list.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised it made the list.
I was surprised it made the list.
I was surprised that it made the list because, I mean, while the cartoon was great, I more so remember the actual game show.
Right, yeah, because it took me a minute to realize, like, they did an animated show.
Yep.
I remember Rockapella bringing us into the live-action show, but I barely remember an animated show.
Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego is basically they have a really weird robotic-sounding chief, and they have these two kids, Zach and Ivy, that basically go around the world chasing Carmen Sandiego. So it's basically, instead of a game show version, it's actual, you know, chasing after her and trying to catch her.
Did Rockapella do the theme?
No,
unfortunately.
Okay. Pass.
It would have been so much better.
Thumbs down.
Yeah, that would have been much better. Shameless plug, I did just do a page for Carmen Sandiego at Behind the Voice Actors. So if you have no idea what the animated version looked like, go to BehindTheVoiceActors.com, check out the characters, and that's my plug. Yeah, it was not ranked on IGN's list. It won a bunch of awards, obviously, because it was educational. 3 Daytime Emmy nominations, 1 Daytime Emmy win. On for 4 seasons. I didn't even know it was on that long. I'm very surprised that this made the list.
Well, how long is the season? 4 episodes?
It must have been 10 episode seasons. I don't know. But I don't know. I don't have a problem with it being on the list, but out of all of the 100, you know, just being me that actually knows all the results, I am surprised that this one made the list. But,
Are you ever going to reveal, like, what, like, 101 through 110 was? Like, the ones that just barely didn't make the cut?
We already did that last episode, episode 20.
Well, see, there you go.
We gave a hint as to the 15 that just missed it. I don't know how much we'll reveal besides that. I don't know if that'll be it or not. I guess we'll have to decide that as we go through, and maybe we'll reveal some so people don't
But you guys keep talking. I'm going to go back and listen to that episode.
All right. Well, while he does that, we'll move into our next number.
90.
Who is the man in the suit? Who is the cat with the beak? Do you really want to feel him? Harvey Attorney, habeas corpus, Marvy Attorney!
So starting up the second half of our first 20, we have our first show that actually made its debut in the 2000s with Harvey Birdman coming in at number 90. What do we think about the first of our, what IGN loved, their Adult Swim / primetime cartoons? This is kind of the first one we've had. Mike or Steve, what do you think about Harvey Birdman making it in at number 90?
For me, I only remember Birdman, the cartoon Birdman. I don't remember Harvey Birdman. I'm assuming this is Harvey Birdman Attorney at Law.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't remember this whatsoever.
Well, basically, if you know anything about Hanna-Barbera, every single Hanna-Barbera character known to man showed up on Harvey Birdman Attorney at Law, and it is quite the collection of characters. I do want to mention before we go too further, because I almost forgot, this is pretty close here. IGN had this one at 91, and we have it at 90.
Yeah.
So we actually almost agreed with something. So, Steve, do you know much about Harvey Birdman?
I have watched it, and it's not that it's a bad show. I just don't see it as being that important to the grand scheme of all things animated. I just think it's more of rehashed, more of a spoof of everything Hanna-Barbera, and it kind of, in some ways, it takes these nice kid-friendly things that you grew up on and kind of just, I don't know, destroys your entire world of them.
It does a Michael Bay. But I don't know, like, for me, it is of its time. I mean, this is what the hip thing to do in this time period was, to let's spoof everything. I mean, how many cartoons did the exact same thing, basically? I can kind of see it both ways. Like, one, it's good that it kind of, in a weird way, paid homage to all these classic characters and brought them back into the television screen. But I don't know. I've just never been – with spoofs, I either like them or I hate them. So I kind of have mixed emotions on this one. Dirt, any opinions on Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law?
I love this show.
Yeah.
I don't think I put this one on my list, and I will have to admit that my list, you know, you're doing a top 100. My list, I think, was only about 30 or 35, because
yes.
I really struggled with, you know, what really counts as something that's important.
Right.
You know, and although I will, just as one aside, I did put Ultimate Muscle on there, even though it does not land anywhere in the top 100 of anything. I still felt the need to throw it in there. But I can't, once this comes up, once you mention Harvey Birdman, I can think back. There were a lot of friends of mine at the time who, if you said, hey, let's watch an animated show, they would have looked at you like you were retarded. And to show them a Space Ghost Coast to Coast, a Harvey Birdman Attorney at Law, I'm trying to think, C-Lab 2021,
right.
Those shows were, you know, part of that William Street golden era of, you know, Cartoon Network late night Adult Swim. And for Harvey Birdman to be on the list at number 90, you know, I can see that. Wait, is this 90 or 91? Where am I at?
90.
This is 90. Okay. So being at number 90, I can see that, because it is a show where, you know, in 20 years, is anybody going to be watching reruns of Harvey Birdman Attorney at Law? Probably not. But if I look at friends who at the time, if you said watch an animated show, they would have never done it. And then they watch this now. They probably would be watching something that's animated. They're gonna
right.
flip through the channels and see an animated show and not necessarily dismiss it, whereas
that's a good point.
Before this show was on, they would have. So I can see it being somewhere in the hierarchy, and being at number 90 out of 100 kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah, it seems like it fits, and you kind of bring up a good point. I guess it kind of was animation that people weren't afraid they were too cool for, I guess. You know, like you said, some people are just see cartoon and, oh, I'm too cool for that, but some of these Adult Swim and spoof shows maybe broke some of that down for some people, hopefully. So, yeah, I'm in agreement. I think, you know, number 90 is a good spot for it. We'll see how many other Adult Swim shows make our countdown. Obviously, the IGN list was almost entirely Adult Swim, so we'll see if we differ or not. But I will guarantee that we're going to go somewhere completely different with the next one on the list.
89.
Cruising on down Main Street, you're relaxed and feeling good. Next thing that you know, you'll see it. Pussy in my neighborhood. Surfing on the sound wave. Swinging through the stars. Yeah. Take a left at Joe Manchester. Take your second right back, Mom.
So number 89 is definitely going to start a debate that I believe Mike and some of the rest of us are going to have throughout this countdown, because it is our first just genuine educational show.
Oh, shit.
Coming in at 89, the Magic School Bus. And Mike, why don't you just share your theory on educational shows in the top 100?
Okay, first of all, why don't you say what it was again? Because Steve said, oh shit, and then I laughed. So you're going to have to say it again. For
those of you that want to hear that again, yes, I didn't stutter the first time. Number 89 is The Magic School Bus.
Okay. All right. When I, and we told this story last episode of how Kevin brought this project to light. Kevin and I, over 2 or 3 days, spent anywhere from 6 to 14 hours total on Skype debating our lists, our individual lists. And when I look at best ever all-time animated series, in my personal list, I did not count educational cartoons. Because I'm thinking best of everything. While educational cartoons are good, to me, they don't equal out to best of all time.
See, I disagree with you on a lot of factors with this. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I disagree that you can just discount everything just because it's an educational show. Because I definitely think that there's cartoons that hopefully will land later on in our countdown that are educational shows that deserve a spot in the top 100. I don't think you can necessarily just discount all shows because they're educational. On the other hand, Magic School Bus? Really?
Actually, can I toss something
in
here?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, obviously, I come from, you know, outside of your little group here. I'm the outsider, the interloper. So let me just toss this out there. When I put my list together, one of the things I did is I grabbed a show off of, you know, you sent out a list that had, I don't know, 50 shows, 100 shows, whatever that you thought were worth mentioning. And I grabbed one of them and I threw it into Microsoft Word. And then I grabbed the next show that was on your list, and I just kind of thought, is this more important or less important than the one I just put on my list?
Right.
And I would either paste it higher or lower. And then I went to the next one. And I just kind of ranked things that way. Then I went through and I just thought of, you know, what shows have I paid attention to that aren't on this list, and et cetera, et cetera. And when I was putting things on that list, I used different criteria. Like, for one, if it was a show that was on, you know, 20 years ago, are people still watching it now? I figured that counted for something. Number two, is it a show that influenced other shows?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a show like Batman the Animated Series. You know, there are still shows on today that owe a debt to that show. So, you know, does that rank it in somewhere
else?
Well,
yeah, and that was kind of my point with, like, Huckleberry Hound, not to interrupt you, but with Huckleberry Hound, when we talked about it, was that it influenced so many other Hanna-Barbera shows that came after it, and that's why I thought it deserved a spot, you know,
right.
More so just the historical aspect. But go ahead.
So a lot of these shows, like, if you think about an educational cartoon or an educational show, you know, when I was little growing up, I don't know how old you guys are, but when I was little growing up, going through elementary school, there was a show called Mulligan Stew, which was a live-action show that was made, I don't know, some random time in the 70s when everybody had afros and bell-bottoms. And that was the show that everybody grew up watching in first grade, second grade, third grade. So, you know, when I look at some of these educational shows, you know, if you take a show like Magic School Bus, how many people had to watch that show? How many people were sitting in school? My mom was a third-grade teacher. And so I, well beyond the third grade by the time the show debuted, you know, mm-hmm. whenever in the mid-90s, this show still influenced me because my mom was a teacher. Right. So then I can only imagine how many hundreds of kids sat in her class staring at the screen while the Magic School Bus was playing, because it's one of those things that teachers would force on their kids. So therefore, it had an impact on people in one form or another, and it's going to influence what they think of when they think of animation and animated shows.
And I think that makes me think, you know, as far as, like, my opinion, the biggest key for me when I was looking at educational shows was how long it was on the air. Because it seems like every educational show has some type of impact on whoever is of the age to watch it when it's on. So for me, it's how long was that show on and how many years did it have that influence? So, you know, this one was on for, you know, from 94 to 97. That's, you know, more than just one or two seasons. So it has at least a little bit of an audience, but I guess that was the biggest factor for me. I know Mike, when, you know, we kind of went through and we eliminated ones from the list as we, kind of a similar process to what you described. And I know Mike went through and basically eliminated all the educational shows straight up, which is perfectly fine. For me, it was it on long enough to have, like you're talking about, this bigger influence? You know, if it was on 8-10 years, I put it on my list. Magic School Bus, I think, for me, just missed the cut because it just was, to me, it wasn't on quite long enough.
But at the same time, I would argue that anything that's on for 3 or 4 years is going to influence 8 to 10 years of true. A public school system, because they're not buying new tapes every 3 years.
Yeah, that's right. True.
Now, I can set any educational cartoon, as long as it's not like preschool educational cartoons, I can set those in their own category. But like I said before, the way I approached my list was best of all time. So for me, like, the oldest cartoon I remember watching is like Looney Tunes cartoons, Looney Tunes shorts. So for me, does Magic School Bus and Looney Tunes, are they able to sit on the same playing field? To me, they weren't. And that's how I was able to...
I don't know. I just think that there's definitely some educational shows that deserve a spot in the top 100, and we'll get to them eventually, hopefully. Now,
and that's why it's not just me or Kevin or Dirt or Steve or, you know, Phil from Blogomatic or anyone else who has contributed. That's why we have 20 people, 20 lists.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
and for the record, none of the four of us voted for this show.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would also argue that, A, I didn't actually vote for it, and B, if I was going to look at 100 shows, you know, Looney Tunes, I would guess, would be somewhere in the top 10, maybe even the top 5, being at number 89, you know, I mean, whatever.
Yeah. Steve, why don't you weigh in on our debate here?
Personally, I don't have a problem with the show. I don't think that this particular one belongs on the top 100 list. I can see where, like, you know, Carmen Sandiego and some of the other ones would kind of rank in there. I would not rate out all educational shows altogether, but for this particular one, I don't think overall it was good enough to be in this list.
And that's where I kind of sit. This is one, if I was just to scan over the ones we've covered so far, I mean, we're at number 89, so we've just covered a few over 10 here. And if I was just to scan over real quick, this would be the one that jumps out at me, that if I had a show that just didn't quite make the cut, this would be the one that I would be booting.
What's the average age of the person who did this list?
From about 19 or 18 to, what, 40 something?
Yeah.
So,
because I'm going to say I'm in my mid-30s, and for me, I wouldn't have put this on my list. But for someone who's, you know, 10, 15 right. years younger than me, I could see it being on there, because this would be their show from their generation, late 90s. You know what I mean?
Right. And that's where it kind of went for me, like the length, how long it was on. That's why that was kind of a key thing. Only when I'm looking at educational shows. I mean, obviously, if any show was on for 10 years or something, it probably deserves a spot. But as far as educational shows, that was the biggest thing, was how long was it on the air. Steve, you were going to say something.
I was going to say, see, I'm 24, and I never got into the show. There was something about it that just I couldn't stand, and I don't know if it was the animation, the voicing, just the goofiness and the way that it tried to teach. For me personally, if I was trying to learn something, I tended to watch a live person show, basically like what we've talked about on telecast, but this was not one of those shows that I would have put on any of my animated list. or any educational list either.
Well, I guess this goes back to the metric, because you're saying that this was on 4 lists out of 20.
Yeah.
And that puts it here at 89. So because, when you're looking...
And kind of because one of them put it in their top 10, which was one of the youngest people on our list, so that does kind of make sense.
Yeah, so there you can see how age is going to skew the list a little bit, because, you know, 20 people, I would assume that when we get into, like, the top 20 out of the 20 lists, you're going to have, you know, 80 to 90% agreement.
Right.
As opposed to here, when you're, you know, in the boonies of a list of 100, you know, you're going to get kind of these weird things that don't seem to make sense, but that's because of the metric involved with putting these things together.
Right, and that's kind of something I was going to mention as we're moving on here is, you know, definitely something I can see being able to see all the shows is that these shows that are in the 90s, 80s, maybe even a little bit into the 70s, a lot of them could be, you know, personal favorites. This is where the most bias on the list is going to be found, because when you get closer down to the top of the list, that's when stuff's undeniable. You know, we may argue over a little bit higher, a little bit lower, but eventually you get to the point where everybody's going to be in agreement that these shows deserve to be on the list. So I think it's these, you know, these top or these first 20 where it's a lot more debatable on, you know, did this just make the list because it's a couple people's favorite show, stuff like that. So I think that's kind of an interesting point you bring up.
And still no Ultimate Muscle.
No, not, we haven't seen that yet. Let's see how long it takes us to maybe we'll come up with another educational show at some point and we'll have this debate again, but let's see where we go with our next number.
88. Cops. Central organization of police specialists. Fighting crime in a future time. Protecting Empire City from Big Boss and his gang of crooks.
All right, speaking of some of our personal favorites making the list, I do have to say this is one of my personal favorites coming in at number 88, Cops. And we're not talking about Bad Boys, Bad Boys. We're talking about fighting crime in a future time. Mike, I know you voted for it, too. Give me your thoughts on Cops.
I put it at 98. I love the premise of the show. I love the voice acting. I think mainly what the problem I have with Cops is the quality that it's in on YouTube, because obviously I don't have the DVD sets.
Shame on you. Just kidding.
Okay, so, yeah. Anyway, I was going to put a clip in there, but no. I like the premise of the show, but most people know that have worked with me, I am a huge continuity guy when it comes to cartoons and stuff like that. There are some cartoons where I don't mind individual stories, and I did like Cops for the fact that these are individual case files per episode. I think it 88, it works. I mean, I don't have a problem with it being there, and considering that IGN didn't even rank it, I mean, a lot of people remember Cops. I mean, a lot of people remember the show, so I'm okay with it being where it is.
I'm going to admit that this doesn't deserve. I'm going to say it doesn't deserve to be in the top 100.
Oh my God!
I voted for it at 60, only trying to get it into the list. This show's not that great. I own all of it on DVD that's been released so far. I loved it. I know most people don't. It was only on one season. I'm a fanboy. I'll admit it. I'm not afraid. Steve or Dirt, any thoughts on Cops?
For me personally, I had only seen this after, like, I had heard of it before, but I hadn't really heard of it for the most part or attempted to watch anything associated with it until your Tooncast episode. So that's why it's probably not on my list. And from what I've seen, like, the quality isn't the greatest, but it's not horrible either.
It's something that I can't watch a lot of at a time, but I can definitely pop it in and watch like one or two episodes and be happy. Dirt, you have any memories of Cops?
Oh, I mean, I watched it every morning. I mean, it was on at, I think, 7 o'clock in the morning. I would get up, pour a bowl of cereal and watch this before school. I mean, I do remember watching it every day. It was not on my list. I wouldn't have that. But, you know, I don't have a problem with it. It was... It was, to me, not a great show. It was just a show. I mean, it fit the bill of characters I wanted to see as toys. Stuff was getting shot and blown up. There were robot dogs and people with guns coming out of body parts. And, you know, I mean, what... Fine, sure, why not? I mean, you know, again, we're here. Like, I realized that I screwed myself with being so happy to be involved in this project. You were like, hey, does anybody want to do a show? And I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll jump right on that. And then I realized, oh crap, I'm doing 100 to 80 or whatever. I'm doing all these shows at the end of the list. No one wants to pay attention to this show. I should have waited till you guys were doing 1 through 20. But you know, a show like Cops is fine. Whatever. I mean, it's a guilty pleasure type show. Just like you say, if I walk into a room and Cops is playing on the TV, I can sit there and watch an episode. If someone goes, hey man, we're getting loaded and we're watching the whole first season of Cops, I'm out. I'm sorry. No, I'm not into it.
That is the best description I've heard so far on this countdown.
I do what I can.
Let's see how are we going to follow this one up. Let's see.
87.
Well, seeing how Dirt said the phrase guilty pleasure, I think that's a perfect lead-in to what you just heard coming in at number 87, Gem and the Holograms. I don't know. This one, I mentioned it when we talked about Powerpuff at whatever it was, number 100, that... You know, for me, Powerpuffs probably represented what Gem was to a future generation, and I've always stuck by this, that Gem, to me, was probably the number one cartoon of the 80s for the females. I've yet to find a girl that grew up in the 80s that didn't love Gem.
I would say it's number two behind She-Ra.
Oh, that's true. I would put She-Ra up there, too. I even know a couple people that I worked with in my last job that were much younger than me, that were not alive when this was on the air. And one of the girls that I knew that I worked with, she had every episode on her, I want to say on her iPod or something. And I was like, you know what Gem is? IGN did not put it on its list. This one, I feel a little bit different than Cops. Was it the greatest show ever? No, but I strongly feel that this does deserve to be at least in the top 100. I think it's almost at a perfect spot at 87. Mike, you had this number 6 on your list?
As I said before...
Mike's a big little girl.
What?
Don't.
Mike, explain yourself.
Yeah. Steve, why don't you go first? I have to write something.
He's gonna bash me, but anyways, I have no recollection of the show whatsoever, so hence is why it's not on my list whatsoever.
Okay, so anyway, yeah, he's not on the list, you finish. But, all right, like I said, the point of 20 people compiling the master list here at KeyCast Radio Network Top 100 Animated Series is that it's not a biased, and I will fully admit, Kevin saw my list. My list, my like top 20 is majority of 80s and 90s. My top 10 specifically is pretty much all 80s shows, this included. So,
I'm sorry. Whenever someone has something in the top 10 that I don't feel belongs there, I'm going to call you out. I agree that it was, you know, like we said, you know, this and Shiro was like the go-to for girls in the 80s, and I do strongly feel that it deserves a spot on the list, but like I said, I think 87 is a little more realistic than 6.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if you had Pixel Dan here with you today to help defend this, since he had it at 28, maybe. I mean, and I know I had it at 38, which is way too, now that I think about it, was way too high. I think 87 is a better rank, but top 10, Mike? Top 10? I'm speechless.
I'm waiting. I gotta hear.
I want his defense.
I watched this along with Thundercats and Silverhawks and all that stuff between 85 and 87.
Let me just ask one quick question. One very simple question. Is this a puberty thing?
No, I was between 5 and 7 years old at that time, unless I was having puberty early.
All right. Well, it's
a special connection to Jim.
If you told me that Jim was your puberty show, then I would totally understand, and I would just not ask any more questions. But if you weren't hitting puberty at the time you were into this show, I just don't get it.
I wasn't into the show. I just remember watching part of it, and I remember the voice acting and just the voices from the characters, and that's what drew me to the show. Obviously, 5 and 6 years old, I didn't know anything about voice actors as far as who was what and whatever else in any cartoon. But,
yeah, but you're not 5 and 6 now.
So I still love the show today now. It was actually
you're a misfit.
Episode 14. Shut up, Kevin.
You're a misfit. Gem and the Misfits. Or are you a hologram? I don't know.
Shut up, Kevin. It was Tooncast episode 14, and it for an 80s cartoon, it had a fairly good opening story. And, I mean, you know, actually, it's funny. I think one of the reasons why I gravitated towards Gem is because it came on right after Mask.
Yeah, actually, I was just thinking that it had the same voice actors as Mask, the same style as Mask. The only difference was it had glam rockers. Otherwise, it was pretty much the same as Mask.
Did have some good singing, some good rocking, if you're an 80s fan, I guess. Yeah, the point is there is no defense for this, Mike, but it came in at number 87, and that's closer to where it belongs than number 6. So
actually, I think it does deserve at least an honorable mention. If it's on the list, then great, but it does deserve an honorable mention because it did have a playset that was a keytar that opened up into a stage. So any toy line that can introduce the keytar to a generation of children, more power to it.
Okay, since Dirt brought up a keytar, another show that actually didn't make the list actually introduced transforming keytars, which was Transformers Animated with Laserbeak and Ratbat keytars. But anyway, let's...
Oh, that was Silverhawks that introduced that. But anyways, let's move into the next one.
86.
So coming in at 86, I'm going to have to rely hopefully on my co-host here, is Recess, which was a 1997 to 2001 show. I will say that it's impressive that it was on for 6 seasons and that IGN did not rank this. I'm seeing, Steve, that you did put this at number 80 at your list, so coming in at 86 is not too far off. Why don't you start us off with your thoughts on Recess making the list, Steve?
Overall, it was one of the more recent Disney shows of the late 90s that I did catch on their one Saturday morning or whatever, one of the few Saturday morning cartoons that were left at the time. And I thought overall it was a fairly good show. Some of the things about it, I mean, were obviously more kiddish, and I was outgrowing these basic cartoons, but it still, I believe, belonged in some of the greater cartoons of all time, just because it had something that was relatable to different levels of students that were going to school, and so I mean it was just overall a decent show.
And it definitely garnered some critical acclaim as far as one Annie nomination, 2 Daytime Emmy nominations, and a bunch of Young Artist things. So, you know, that combined with being on for 6 seasons, I don't have a problem. Like I said, it's not something I ever watched. It's not something I was exposed to. I'm not saying it's good or bad, but I don't have a problem with it being on the top 100. Mike or Dirt, any thoughts?
As I said in Tooncast episode 92, it's one of those shows where, like Steve, I caught it on Disney Channel at the time back in... Actually, I caught it more recently. I'd say probably like 4 or 5 years ago, like in reruns on Disney Channel. And I kind of grew to like it because, I mean, we never actually had... Like, you know, you guys talk about the educational cartoons and stuff. We never actually had a cartoon dedicated to Recess until this show.
True. I guess I never thought about that.
Because that's all they ever show you for the majority in the actual television series is the adventures at recess. They don't show you the lunch period. They don't show you class periods. They just show the time at recess.
Okay, I'll give you that. Dirt, any thoughts?
When did the show debut? 97?
Yep.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I turned 21 in 97, so I didn't watch anything that was on in the mornings for about 3 years. So
I'm with you. That's why I missed this one, too. I wasn't watching cartoons at this time, so I'm not saying it's bad. That's why it didn't make my list, though.
I won't say I wasn't watching cartoons. I just didn't watch anything that was on in the morning. So if it was a late night, you know, Adult Swim show or a primetime animated series, no problem. I was into those. But anything that aired before, I don't know, maybe 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I probably wasn't awake for.
That's great. I don't know. For me, this is a perfect ranking for it. You know, if I was nitpicking, I might put actually our last one before that. I might put Gem ahead of Recess. But I think both of them falling in the 80s is fine with me. Any last thoughts on this one before we move on to our next number?
Nope.
All right, let's move on.
85.
Every day when you're walking down the street, everybody that you meet has an original point of view. And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If you can learn to work and play and get along with each other.
Well, let the debate continue, because at number 85 is another educational show, if you couldn't tell from that little bit of the theme song, Arthur. Now, let me start on this one, because to me this is the exact opposite of what we were talking about with Magic School Bus, because this one has been on for over 14 seasons. So when we're talking about number of people it influences, this one, I mean, it's been on since 1996, so I'm fine with this educational show being on the list. This is one of the examples, Mike, where I'm saying you can't just knock this one off for being educational when it's been on for almost a decade and a half.
But the majority of it, the age range of audience is towards younger children. It's not towards...
I don't see how that matters.
Okay, wait. Let me throw this in here. When a couple weeks ago we were flipping through YouTube at work and we ran across a guy who does a cappella cartoon theme songs, and he did the theme to Arthur. And before more than maybe 5 seconds had come out of this guy's mouth, Pixel Dan said, "Oh, that's Arthur." Pixel Dan had pulled Arthur out of that. And I thought, that is the most bizarre thing, because my kids, who are 3 and 5, watch Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
So for Pixel Dan to go, "Oh, I remember that show from when I was growing up."
Ooh, and I remember it from when I was growing up, too. I didn't watch it a lot, but I still remember it.
And my kids watch it today. That, to me, says something where I was like, wow, this show has had a lot more impact than I realize.
Well, and I guess the reason I said that to you, Mike, kind of abruptly, was that I don't think it matters what age range, what the demographic they're going for is. Because, first of all, look at what age is the most easily influenced by what they're seeing. You know, it is this young group, so if you can get something that really hits home and has been on for this long, I think that's almost more valuable than, you know, something that was aimed at a larger, you know, an older audience that didn't have as much success. I mean, it's been nominated for 18 daytime Emmys and won 6 of them. I know IGN didn't put it on their list, and I think that's where IGN got part of it wrong, because I think this definitely deserves to be top 100. Steve, any thoughts on Arthur?
I did not watch this. I knew of, like, family members that did that were younger. It is one of the nicer shows for the younger generation to have grown up with, but I can see where it went on the top 100. I just myself did not rank it.
And another thing for me personally, in 1996, I was too busy watching stuff like Mortal Kombat and Mortal Kombat Annihilation. And I think, didn't this air on Nick?
I think it's aired on PBS at one point.
PBS. Yeah, my kids watch it on PBS.
Too, oh, okay. So. I thought it was on Nick, but I don't know. I just, by 96, I don't think I was watching any PBS programming, unfortunately.
Like I said, it's not something that was my favorite. It's not something that I would spend a lot of time watching, but I think it's an educational show that's been on that long, then I think it deserves to be on the list. And, you know, maybe everyone else disagrees with me. I'm not sure, but I have no problem with it.
According to this, the show debuted – let's see, where are we at here?
96.
The show debuted 96, September 2nd, 1996, and it's still in production today. In season 12, the series began creating and airing episodes in 1080p HD format. So this is a show that 96, I was in college. Now I have my own kids, and they're still creating the show today. That, to me, says something.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to agree to disagree with you, Mike. And with
no,
that,
we're just going to say you're wrong.
Yeah, we like to do that, so we'll just do that. And with that note, let's move on to the next show.
And I'll never be invited back.
84.
That one should be very obvious for everybody as far as which show was coming in at number 84. What an iconic sound from that theme song, the Woody Woodpecker Show. It ranked 88th on IGN's list, 84th on ours, so we're pretty close. All of us but Steve voted on Woody Woodpecker, so let's start with Steve. Why not Woody Woodpecker, buddy?
I actually have no idea. I may have just, I don't know, forgotten it when I was doing my list, because I actually did used to watch this show.
Yeah, I think that's something, too, when you're making a list, it's easy to let something slip by, and it's easy to forget something. There's been a couple times where I've been, well, wait a second, I didn't vote for that or something, but I don't know, Woody Woodpecker was just one of the ones I remember from my childhood so much, just, and I don't even know why, it just stuck in my head. Mike, you had this one at 65. Are you upset that it didn't come in? Actually, Dirt, you had it in your number 11. So are you too upset that it is at number 84? Or what's your feeling on where it came in?
Dirt, you take this one.
You know, I'm going to say I guess I'm not too surprised where it came in. It was high on my list, but again, I said my list was only 30-some.
Right.
I couldn't do a list of 100 because I was going absolutely insane trying to get beyond 25 because I just, you know, it's like trying to, which furniture do you grab out of the burning building? I couldn't, you know. So, you know, where it's at on the list, I can kind of see, especially with the show has kind of lost its hold in pop culture over the last decade. You know, I think if you had done this list 20 years ago, it would have ranked much higher, and it has kind of slipped. It hasn't held up. You know, a lot of the stuff from the 40s and 50s, you think of Looney Tunes, you can think of, you know, Mickey Mouse and whatever, but Woody Woodpecker kind of fell off of that bandwagon.
It hasn't got as many reboots or you know, different, you know, new incarnations like we've had even with well, like a lot of the Hanna-Barbera stuff, or even Tom and Jerry came back multiple times. You know, Scooby-Doo's the king of coming back every year. And this one just, it seems like there hasn't been a new incarnation of it in the last, what, 15 years, 20 years?
Well, and I also remember a lot of people, you know, when I was young, people always referred to Woody Woodpecker as kind of like a second-rate Looney Tunes. It kind of seemed like he could have been a Looney Tunes character, but he was like the off-brand Looney Tunes character. So I think that may have something to do with it, too, where he's one of those, you know, also-ran type shows where someone found a formula that hit and someone else kind of cashed in on that, and so there are some memories to it, but he just doesn't stand the test of time like some of those others.
I would like to point out, just before Mike continues with the thought here, I just noticed this. IGN had it at 88. We have it at 84. Double D had it at 84. I had it at 83. So it seems like a lot of us are in agreement as far as where this should go.
Yeah.
I'm happy that it's on the list. Mike, go ahead.
I'm happy that it's on the list, but, I mean, like, I liked... the problem with the Woody Woodpecker show, the problem with Woody Woodpecker in general, is it had multiple shows from the 40s up until, you know, from 1957 up until 1997. It had multiple versions. And that, for me, was a problem sometimes because, honestly, the main thing I remember about the Woody Woodpecker shows was the side cartoon of Chili Willy, the penguin.
Yes, yep.
Yeah.
I myself remember both of those, and I think that was about the only memorable part about that. And I think there were other sideshows. I can't really remember for sure, but
there were.
I did not care for them, which is why no. I don't remember them.
Chili Willy was the best one out of the sideshows.
Andy Panda is the only one I can think of.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one too.
But again, the fact that we're having a hard time thinking of what else went with it kind of shows that, you know, it deserves to be on the list, but nowhere near the top.
Right. I mean, Woody Woodpecker is one of those. He falls into that line of classic cartoon characters. The show, like Kevin said, just kind of gets overlooked. I mean, we haven't had a reboot of Woody since 97. When it ended, so...
It's one of those classics that deserves to be on the list, but it's not one of those classics that I'm going to be pissed off that people didn't give it more recognition.
Right.
I'm actually going to be fine with where it landed, so...
Although now that we talk about it, though, I'm so afraid that sometime in the next 2 years we're going to get the live-action Woody Woodpecker movie.
Oh, God. Right after Yogi Bear and what else Smurfs are we getting?
And Alvin and the Chipmunks that we've had now and everything else. I'm just afraid.
I actually like the Alvin and the Chipmunk ones, but that's a whole other story.
Well, so did my five-year-old. But, yeah.
thanks for that.
It will get worse.
Oh, goodness. Let's see where we go now with our next entry.
83.
Bad guy, save the world, fly the sky. Half kid, I'm amazing. Okay, stand shotgun facing. Yeah, 1-0, then you zap. You see what? Get trapped. In my eyes, I got the power. Villains from the static shower. Superhero, static shot.
I'm actually surprised that it took this long, and I'm going to have to rely on you guys on this one, but coming in at number 83, I believe, is our first, I guess you call it superhero show or comic-type show, Static Shock?
Yes, Static Shock was... The only reason why it's in the DC Animated Universe is because it had a couple of crossovers with Justice League and Batman, the animated series, or the new Batman Adventures, but yeah, this would be the first superhero show.
I'm surprised that it took us this long to get a superhero show.
Yeah.
It was on for 4 seasons. It got, you know, some Annie nominations, Emmy nominations, and stuff like that. Steve, you have it on your list. Mike, you don't. Obviously, I'm not a superhero guy, unfortunately. So maybe some discussion between Steve and Mike why one of you has it on your list and one of you doesn't.
You want to go first, Steve?
All right, I guess I'll go first then. I put it on my list because it was something different, and it was along the same lines. I mean, it was still in the DCAU, the DC Animated Universe, for those that don't know. And it was more of a kid perspective, but it was a totally different kind of character with metahumans. And this particular character, he had, like, this energy disc, and... He would kind of fly around on it and had this costume, and it was just your normal teenager, and he could shoot electricity and whatnot. And I thought overall it was kind of cool, and especially when the fact he continuously crossed over into other shows, such as Batman the Animated Series, Batman Beyond.
Justice League.
Yeah, Justice League. I mean, so it constantly was jumping back and forth between them. So you could see the entry points, and so I mostly got into it because of the Batman dynamic.
Yeah, Static Shock was one of those shows for me that it, honestly, I think it's one of the most socially charged shows of...
2004?
Yeah, between 2000 and 2004. I was going to say 90s. That's why I had to look at the thing. I mean, because you have in this show, you've got Richie, his best friend. Static, for those who don't know, is an African-American. Richie is a white kid. And not that that matters or anything, but Richie's father was a racist in the show. And I think that, like, you know, in the longest time that I can remember on television, this is the first time that, you know, it had actually shown issues like this and went through issues like this. There was an episode about, you know, drunk stuff, you know, someone being drunk. And one of the greatest things about Static Shock was because it was part of Milestone Comics, and Dwayne McDuffie was a co-creator who recently passed away. Rest in peace, Dwayne. You know, he helped create a really, really good storyline with this character. And like Steve said, carrying over into Justice League, I love the line in the Justice League Unlimited episode, Once a Future Thing, 65 is the new 30, as the adult Static would say. I'm not surprised that it came in at 83. I am more surprised that it came in on the countdown at all, considering all the lists that have been submitted, I wouldn't think this is on a lot of people's list. And honestly, the one of the reasons why it didn't make my list was because, again, I came into my list of best of all time. While this is a great cartoon in its own right, it just, for me, it didn't rank of, this isn't what I think of as all-time best cartoons, but it is an excellent cartoon in its own right.
Dirt, anything to say on Static Shock?
Not really. I mean,
you're with me.
I watched it, now and again. I never really got into it like some of the others. I guess my thing, I am a comic book guy, and coming at it from the comics from Milestone, if I were to take all the characters and all the storylines from Milestone and say, I got to turn one of these into a show, Static would have not been my first character. Probably would have been my third or fourth pick out of the Milestone universe. So it was one of those things where when the show was coming to air, I kind of saw it already as kind of a B-list show because I thought Hardware or Icon was a much better character out of the Milestone universe. So I never really got into the show. I never really paid that much attention to it. I thought it was neat. You know, I thought all the DC animated stuff, I think, you know, has its good qualities to it. I like, you know, all their animated stuff that they do. But Static, for me as a character compared to some of the other ones from Milestone, it just really didn't do it for me.
Yeah, and, you know, I think this is the first example of maybe some of the superhero bias on the countdown that we may or may not see. Interesting that this is the first superhero show, I think, not just because we're at number 83, but because of the title of the show, or, you know, which one it is, too. So we'll see if we get any more, or when the next superhero show pops up. But let's check out what comes in next.
82.
That's right. Number 82 is Mighty Max. And I'm going to immediately turn this one over to Steve because, Steve, you had this one ranked pretty high. Why do you feel Mighty Max warrants a spot in the top 100?
Because it was one of those early 90s shows that it was about this kid that got this cap where he could go through space, time, whatever, and into different locations. And he had this talking fowl that followed him around and was kind of like his Yoda. And then he had his, you know, bodyguard kind of warrior and Norman. And he, you know, they would go around and do these whatever missions that Virgil had him doing for his destiny. And some of the voice actors in it were pretty iconic in the villains. You had Frank Welker as one of them. I can't remember the guy that does the Skullmaster's voice, but I mean, it's just...
That was Tim Curry.
Yeah, that's... I mean, his whole act in that show was iconic as all hell, and it was just one of those interesting shows that... It just grabbed me, and I just thought it was really, really well done.
I will have to say that this is the point where I commit harikari. Uh-oh. Because I did not put this on my list, and I loved this show, and I bought all the toys that tied into the show. I love the show so much. In fact, nice. somewhere in my basement, I still have the one commercial VHS tape of Mighty Max that they released. It's still in my VHS collection of like 20 tapes I will never part with. And I'm looking at my list, and I did not put it on my list, which means this should probably bump this up somewhere. Come back to it later.
Redo.
Because I did love this show. And it was the toy line was coming out. They made the show to cash in on the toy line. And then the Sega Genesis Super Nintendo game came later based off the show, based off the toys. But this is one of those – I was I don't know if I was in high school still. I think I was still in high school at the time when this first debuted. And I didn't have cable. And I grew up in a household with no cable TV, and I think this was on USA for a long time. It was syndicated, but I think it was on USA. So I had to – I actually gave a videotape to a friend of mine who would tape the show. And then once the tape was full of episodes, he would give me the tape, and I would give him a different blank tape so he could keep recording it for me. And again, this is the part where I commit harikari, because I totally dropped the ball, because I loved this show, and I totally should have put this on my list.
Yeah, like I said, I'm interested to see as we go through here how many that's happened a couple times so far with us, and I'm wondering how many more times we're going to have someone or one of us realize, dang it, why didn't I vote for that one? But I don't know. I didn't really watch this show, so I'm not going to say anything bad or good about it.
I'm in the same boat as you. I did not watch this show whatsoever.
It seems like, you know, based on what Steve and Dirt are saying, that it warrants a spot in our top 100. So I'll just leave it at that, and let's move on to our next one.
81.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes a Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there goes a Spider-Man.
Well, it didn't take long for us to get to our next superhero cartoon. Number 81, we have the 1960s Spider-Man cartoon. None of us voted for it, but I know Mike and Steve probably at least, and maybe Dirt, have some knowledge on the 60s Spider-Man cartoon. Let's start with Mike. What do you think about the 60s Spider-Man showing up in the top 100?
Where's Dan Gilvezan? Where are his amazing friends? That's where my Spider-Man cartoonage starts. It's in the 70s. I don't think I've ever seen a single episode of this one.
It was on for 3 years, so that's, I guess, okay. We had the people that ranked it, we had three people rank it in the top 25. And I don't know, I guess I never even thought about it when I was considering which superhero cartoons I was going to put on the list. So it kind of shocked me in a way, but didn't shock me. I don't know, Dirt or Steve, any thoughts on Spider-Man, the 60s version?
Dirt's the comic book guy. He should go first.
Great. I didn't like this series. it wasn't on my list. This came from, to me, a time period in animation where things got really bad. And I've watched the show a couple times. I just couldn't get into it. It's just not a version of the character, a time period in animation, anything that I like. And to be honest, like Spider-Man, if you say Spider-Man in animated form, I'd say yes, Spider-Man in animated form belongs on this list, but not this series, not from this
version
time.
Of it.
Yeah, no, not this one.
Steve, any thoughts on the 60s Spider-Man?
Honestly, I didn't even know there was a Spider-Man in the 60s. I knew about the Spider-Man and his amazing friends, and I knew about the early 90s Spider-Man and then the later ones through the late 90s and 2000s. But to me, the only true Spider-Man is the one of the early 90s.
So apparently we had a couple diehard Spider-Man fans among us. Any other thoughts on Spider-Man coming in at the 60s before we move on?
I think we should announce who those were. There were JT, who ranked it 7th, Glade Packer, who ranked it 25th, and Mike, the Fist of Justice Laidman, who ranked it 23rd.
So if you have problems with Spider-Man showing, the 60s version showing up on our list, direct your angst to those three.
I definitely will, because I don't think that should even be in the top 100.
So, yeah, we've definitely had a few that we might not think belong here, and I guess we'll have to see how that trend either continues or doesn't continue as we move on. So there you have it. Those are the first 20 entries in the Geekcast Radio Network's Top 100 Animated Series of All Time list. To hear us continue the countdown, make sure you tune in to episode 22.
You've just heard 100 through 81 of the top 100 animated series of all time. Stay tuned until next time when we reveal 80 to 61.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.